Good morning, everybody. We're glad to see you. We have some who are visiting with us, and we're glad you came our way. We're going to have a lesson this morning, very simple lesson, but one that really teaches a good lesson. Why do we need a pattern? And this is something important that we all need to be realizing, because as members of the Lord's body, we're often asked this because we demand authority for all that we do. In fact, we suggest to other people that they need to have Bible authority for the things that they do. And usually, they do not have that Bible authority, so they start questioning this idea of needing a pattern. And so, why do we need a pattern for what we do? Well, that's important. If we're going to do things the way God wants us to do things, we're going to do it His way. And this is a very common question in the religious world today, because everybody knows that they have literally thousands of denominations out there, thousands of groups that all proclaiming to be followers of Christ, followers of God's Word, but yet they do things differently. They teach different doctrines, and that's not right. I mean, they shouldn't be doing that. So we're going to consider how the gospel has been watered down in many places. In other words, when you talk about God's plan of salvation, man comes up with his own type of theology on how to be saved. And they don't agree. The Bible says one thing, and these other people are saying something else. So they're not following the right standard. And that's what we're talking about. The standard we're going to follow is our pattern. And so we're going to answer the question, why do we need a pattern? All right, first of all, even among our brethren, there are some who are teaching what is described as the no pattern theory of interpretation. In other words, set the Bible aside. We will decide what we want to do for God. And that's how they teach. And if they want to do something that is not found in the Scriptures, well, that's because they don't have a pattern they have to follow. The pattern is, do what I want to do. And a lot of people do that. We recognize that in the denominational world. It's kind of sometimes startles us when we hear our own brethren doing stuff like that. All right, it is espoused in various forms, typically to the degree that one wants to act outside of the pattern that we do have in the Bible. All right, often these arguments are based upon the silence of Scripture. And we've all heard the argument, well, God didn't say you couldn't do it. I mean, when we start doing that, I mean, if the Bible would have to prohibit everything, there wouldn't be enough room for it. We couldn't carry a Bible with us. I mean, it would be so long. I mean, you cannot find anywhere in the Bible where it says you cannot drink Jack Daniel's whiskey. You know that. It's not in there. And I can show you, I can read the whole Bible, it is not in there. But what does he say? He says you stay away from the strong drink. And he prohibits drunkenness. And of course, if you drink enough Jack Daniel's whiskey, and for some people just a little bit is all it takes, all right, you're drunk. And so that's not good. That's a sin in the sight of God. So we don't have to work on what the Bible says not to do when God tells us what to do. That's what we have to focus on. And God has told us what to do. So we're not going to deal specifically with the silence of Scripture, though much of what we say in this lesson applies to that doctrine also. Now, the Bible speaks of patterns, and it talks about it. The word pattern is a word that means a model of behavior as an example to be imitated, or in some cases, to be avoided. The word pattern, where the Bible is concerned, is similar to a pattern in anything, such as making a dress. Some women are seamstress, and they follow a pattern. Some architects, they design a building, they put a blueprint together. And the builders, they have to follow that pattern, that blueprint, precisely. Or it might be just as simple as an instruction manual for assembling something. Of course, that's hard for guys to do because we usually just set those instructions off the side and try and figure it out ourselves. And a lot of times, okay, let me go back and read the instructions, find out what I did wrong. So we do stuff like that. But it's there for a reason. The Bible is also a pattern for us. Philippians 3:17, Paul was talking to these brethren, says, "Join in following my example." In other words, his example was one of faithfulness, and he encouraged the Philippians to do the same thing. He said, "As you have us for a pattern," us being Paul and his companions. They were doing and trying to do those things that are right in the sight of God, and he encouraged the Philippians to do the same thing. He said his example was worthy of following. You know, he told the Corinthians, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." There in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. In 2 Timothy 1:13, it says, "Hold fast to the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." In other words, what I have taught you, and this is Paul, the apostle speaking, what I have taught you, you hold on to those words. They are a pattern of living. And so that's what the Bible is. The New Testament was written to Christians to give them a pattern of living. Now, Titus 2:7 says, "Speaking, the older men are to teach the younger men." He's speaking to them, and their example, he says, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, in reverence, and incorruptibility." The older men, in order to teach the younger men, were to basically have a good behavior standard that they were demonstrating. Their example was to be a pattern to be followed, a pattern of good works. And it doesn't ever get down to, "Well, do what I say, but don't do what I do." That's never the case. God always demands, if someone is going to be speaking for me, they've got to be right with me. And that's always the case. It was right with Moses when he was on the way down to Egypt. And that's the lesson we learn. Anybody who's going to speak for God has to be in a right relationship with God. In Hebrews 8 and verse 5, he's talking about the tabernacle. They serve as a copy and shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he says, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." So there was something important that God showed Moses, and he was to do things precisely as he was instructed. In Romans 6:17, talks about the fact that you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. In this case, that form is the gospel. And then 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, and also in verse 11, says, "These things became our examples to us, for us to learn from. These were examples of reaction of God by Israel in the wilderness." The children of Israel were doing things that were not right. And you know what? God said he wasn't pleased with that. And he killed a lot of people for not doing what God instructed. Now, in 1 Corinthians 10, says, "These are examples you don't need to be following. Don't do these examples. Don't be like them. Because they were wrong and God punished them. And we would receive the same kind of punishment if we did these same things." So Paul is telling them not to follow these examples. In Hebrews 9 and verse 24, "Christ has entered into heaven itself, not the physical holy place, which is a copy of the true." Talking about the tabernacle, talking about the temple, is just a copy of the true tabernacle, which is in heaven, a spiritual place. And so, as we know, these last three examples, the words of emphasis, the form, the example, and copy are all the same Greek word as pattern in the previous verses. So pattern, copy, example. We could also say blueprint. We could also say the instruction manual. We could say the rule book. All of these referring to the same thing, that being the will of God. Alright, so in this we can see that to God, a pattern is important. And those who refuse to acknowledge that God has given us a pattern to be followed, they reject God's instructions. I don't care what God has to say, is their attitude. We've also heard it said, well, I know what the Bible says, but... And then guess what? They change that. Yeah, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do it my way. And people justify themselves. They will always justify themselves in their own minds if they don't want to follow the pattern God has set forth. Now, examples of patterns in Scripture, we know this. God's plan of redemption is a pattern, which a lot of people don't really agree with. But if we follow God's word, we know what that pattern is. That pattern actually explains why he was so specific in some things, such as building the tabernacle and the temple. Notice how specific he gets. Noah was given a pattern. You remember that? He was supposed to build an ark. It was supposed to be 300 cubits long by 50 cubits wide by 30 cubits high. It was supposed to be built with three floors in it, with decks, with rooms in it. It was to be covered in pitch outside and inside. There was to be one door and one window. That was a pattern. And we kind of assume what would happen if Noah decided to put in two doors or 15 windows, or if he decided to make it out of something other than gopher wood. Do we honestly believe that ark would have saved humanity? No, we really can't. We know that Noah abided by everything God said, and those eight souls were saved. And of course, they're our ancestors, and so we have to appreciate that. Noah was given a pattern, and we know that if he had deviated from that pattern, things would not have worked out as he should have. That's what we should learn from that. Now, man doesn't learn those things. Moses was given the pattern. We just talked about there in Hebrews chapter 8. Moses was given, he was shown the pattern of how to build the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, this is the little box that he was to make. He was told how to make it, what kind of materials. You're supposed to make it out of acacia wood. Not pine, and God didn't have to say, now don't build it out of oak or pine or cypress or balsa. He didn't have to say that. When God gives a specific, this is what I want, nothing else is going to work. He said, make the ark out of acacia wood. And then you take gold and overlay it with gold. You put rings in there so you can put poles through it for the ark to be carried. The ark wasn't supposed to be touched. It had to be carried. They had to put the wooden poles in there and carry it by hand. We saw what happened when David decided to put it on a cart and run it along. Uzzah died because of that. So Moses was given this pattern how to build it. He was given the pattern how to transport it, how to basically take care of it. And who was able to take care of it? So all of these things, this is a pattern that God gives. Now Solomon was given the pattern. Remember, as we read from our scripture reading, how Solomon was given the charge to be the next king over Israel, and how God had chosen Solomon to build the temple. Well, before Solomon was given that charge to build the temple, God gave David the blueprint for the temple. He gave him the instructions. So if we read further in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, David says, God gave me this pattern. He gave me the pattern for the porch, for the rooms, for the court, for the holy place and the most holy place. He gave me all of this, and now I'm giving it to you, Solomon, and you make sure you do it to the letter, to the T, exactly how the pattern was given. Because the implication, we understand, if he didn't do it according to the pattern, God would not be pleased. So we jump forward 3,000 years, and now all of a sudden people say, well, we don't need a pattern in our worship to God. What we read in Malachi 3:6 is God does not change. God has given us a pattern. God has given us a pattern of how we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. God's given us a pattern concerning the plan of salvation. God has given us a pattern on what we do as a congregation, how we function, the work of the church, and the organization of the church. He's given us that pattern. But when people don't want to follow that pattern, they come up and justify their own ways for doing things. Nadab and Abihu, they had a pattern. Leviticus 16:12 talks specifically about their responsibility and where the incense is supposed to come. The fire for the incense was supposed to come from. And you know what? They decided to do it a different way. It says they offered strange fire, and fire came down from heaven and killed them. And so that's what they did. And then there are other examples that demonstrate the danger of rejecting God's pattern. Anytime God tells us to do something and we don't do it, we are rejecting God's pattern. Anytime He tells us something is a sin and we choose to do that anyway, we are rejecting God's pattern. Is it any different today? We learn from the Old Testament. These things were written for our instruction. And if we fail to follow the pattern that God gives us, what's going to be the result? He's not going to be happy, and He's going to punish us like He did those other people. So yes, we have done that. Now, just a quick note here. We may not understand exactly why God specified what He did, but that shouldn't matter. We don't know why He chose gopher wood for the ark. We might think in our wisdom maybe oak would be stronger or balsa would be lighter. It could float better. We might try and think of different ways of what might we think might be better. We don't know why God specified gopher wood, but the fact is He did. And what we understand from the scriptures, we know that Noah did everything according to the word of the Lord. Now, when God tells us to do things, whether we can resolve it in our mind that, well, I understand why I'm doing that. No. We're going to do it because God tells us to do it. That's why we should do it, because God said so. We don't have to sit down there and really understand, okay, why am I doing this? Why do we sing without the instrument of music? Wouldn't a piano help us stay on key or something like that? There's all sorts of reasoning for adding an instrument. That the problem is, they're adding something. God said to sing. He didn't say anything else. So, keep that in mind. We may not understand why God did what He did. Why baptism is necessary. But God said it was. So that should be good enough for us. Because God said so. And we should dare not question Him or His motives. Because He's so much better than us. His ways are better than our ways. And His thoughts higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9 tells us that. And so God has it in His mind what He wants. And the fact that He is God should say enough, right? He is God. And He is the one who tells us what we should be doing. You know, Romans 9:20-21. Who are we to question God? And this question is answered many times and asked many times in the script. You know, Job, he was questioning why God would do certain things. And God would tell him, hey, were you here when the foundation of the earth was built? Were you around when these hills were formed? Were you around when the stars were formed? I mean, who are you to question God? And that's the way we all should look at it. A lot of people have this defiant attitude, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do what I want. Well, guess what? They're going to stand before that God and give an account of themselves. So, who are we to question God? It's not our place to question God. Why would you allow this to happen, God? That's not the question we should be asking. How can I handle this? That's the question we should be asking. How can I handle what you have given to us? And that's what we need to do. How should we respond? That's what we need to consider. Now, what if we didn't need a pattern? What would it be like? Well, it'd be chaos, right? How far are we willing to take that? Certainly would make it easier to do what we want to do. And, you know, a lot of people have gotten that point. A lot of groups out there have decided, well, we're going to do what we want to do. And that basically, most of them out there have just rejected the Bible as any source of authority whatsoever. It's whatever they decide. Sometimes they gather together in a convention and say, well, this is what we're going to believe now. They get together in their councils and their synods and decide, well, this is what we're going to believe. You know, one group, they've changed their doctrine from 1770. They've changed it over 150 times. They've changed their doctrine 150 times. So, I mean, imagine this. Their preacher gets in the pulpit and condemns a certain activity, and then next week, well, we don't condemn that anymore. I mean, how can there's no consistency there. It's whatever the people want. Well, Paul warned Timothy about that there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 and 3. Says the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. But they want people to tell them what they want to hear. And there will be preachers give them that. Well, God's not going to be pleased with those preachers. God wants preachers who will tell them the truth. See, if we didn't have a pattern, there would be no rules or restrictions to limit us on what we can do. There would be nothing said that we couldn't take all our clothes off and dance around or do other things. There are no rules. If there's no pattern, there are no rules. What would you think about that? More importantly, what would God think about that? He wouldn't be pleased with that. And let's just bring in a set up a bar back there and have all sorts of alcoholic drinks and stuff like that. Where would anybody have the right to say, you can't do that? If there was no pattern, could anybody ever have the right to say, you can't do that? No. Nobody would have that right in any way. And no matter how outrageous the activity, nobody can say, you shouldn't be doing that. In other words, anything goes. And I mean anything. And that's really what happens in a lot of places. Anything goes. Now the question is, who determines what is a must? Well, we must worship God. Really? If you have no pattern, you can worship anything you want. And most people do. Most people end up worshiping themselves. That's to be honest there. Most people worship themselves. But we know the Bible tells us what is a must that we must do. What must I do to be saved is a question that is answered in the Bible. And here's a problem with many who want to do what they want to do. If you call for a pattern to be followed, they say, aren't you binding things that God did not bind? No, we're not doing that. When the Bible says to do something in order to be saved, we're not binding anything that God hasn't already bound. In fact, if it comes from the Bible, God has already bound that. He's put that upon us. If we tell people what's in the Bible, we are not binding where God did not bind. We are just following the pattern. And what is this pattern? Is it one who believes in the Bible? Well, for a lot of people, they figure, well, if I believe the Bible, am I not following a pattern? If we follow the Bible and say we need to live and abide by the Bible, doesn't that mean we've established some sort of pattern? Well, we didn't establish that pattern. God did. When He gave us that Bible, He established the pattern that we should follow. And if we choose not to follow that pattern, then we're not going to have heaven available to us. Maybe one decides, well, we want to believe in Jesus. Well, there's people who want to believe in God, but they reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They reject Him as the Son of God. If we establish that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He is the King and He is head over the church, have we not established a pattern? We're not the ones establishing the pattern. God established that pattern. Do you really believe that God doesn't care what you believe? You know, there's a lot of people, they believe what they want to believe. And God doesn't care. If I give Him any worship at all, He's just going to take it. Regardless, if I want to get naked, run through the trees, and consider that worship, then God's going to accept that. No, God's not going to accept that. And from the looks of most people, nobody else would want to see that either. So, no. God does care, doesn't He? Why would He waste the time to give us a pattern if He didn't care? Does He approve of the division in His name? All these different groups doing what they want to do, calling themselves by different names? No, that's not the pattern He gave us. See, our study on denominationalism shows that God is not pleased with the division that is present. God is not pleased with all these thousands of different groups teaching thousands of different doctrines. There's only one thing that's going to establish what God wants, and He's given to us in the Word of God, the Bible. We follow that pattern, and we know we'll be right with God. When we decide that we want to do our own thing, if we want to do something different from what He said, then we're not going to be pleasing to God. It's just that simple to understand. The question is, are you willing to risk your eternity that it doesn't matter? Your soul is going to end up either in heaven or hell. And if you decide, well, I don't want to follow God's pattern, you're not going to heaven, plain and simple. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to do things His way. You know, Paul wrote, and this is why we continue to do this, "For to me to write these things for you is your safeguard." Paul wrote that. Peter told the people he was writing to, "I write these things by way of reminder." And it's no big deal to remind you of these things. It should not be a big deal for us to remind people of God's pattern, what God wants us to do, and how God wants us to do it. That's not a problem. It's actually a safeguard when we repeat these things. Of course, when we repeat these things, we're going to be challenged as to the fact that we're trying to establish a pattern. No, God has already established the pattern. We're just trying to keep it. That's all it is. What about Matthew 7:21? See, this gets a lot of people, and this is a passage that we should know by memory. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. And many will say unto us that day, 'Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name do many wonderful deeds?' And I will declare to them, 'Depart from me, I know you not.'" And then he goes on to tell them, "The man who accepts my words and acts on them is like the man who builds his house upon the rock. And his rock, his house was strong, and the winds came, and the wind blew, the water came, and his house stood firm. But the man who hears my words and does not act upon them is like the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, and the waters came, and the wind blew, and great was the fall of that house." Just because people say, "Lord, Lord," does not make them religious. Oh, they want to show people, "Oh, I'm religious. I say, 'Lord, Lord.'" See, when we think about these things, and this passage, does it not suggest that God has a particular set of rules to be obeyed? See, if we get this idea that we make our own rules as we go, and anything goes, then we would be wrong. God does have a set of rules. And if God is going to give us a set of rules in order to be pleasing to God, shouldn't we be keeping those rules? Absolutely. See, Proverbs 16:2. There is a way that... All right. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. Okay, that's not the right one. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Okay, that's Proverbs 16:2. Also quoted in verse 25. So, there is a way that seems right to a man. And basically, when man does what he wants to do, well, it just seems right to me. Seems good enough for me. God ought to accept it because it's coming from my heart. When God tells us in His Word, this is what I want, and we give Him something different, are we pleasing to God? The answer ought to be obvious. The answer is a no. Also, it's not enough to simply say, we know Him. Oh, I'm in a good relationship with God. I'm sure many of us have heard that before. Oh, we have an under God and I, we have an understanding. That's really a cop-out because they're not doing what God says. Notice what Titus 1:16 says. They profess to know Him, but their deeds deny Him. Oh, I'm a Christian. I live a righteous life, but then I go out and act like people of the world who have no regard for God. That's denying God. What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That's a very pointed question. You're calling me Lord. You want me to bless you, but you're not willing to do what I tell you to do? I mean, these are rhetorical questions when you think about it. I mean, if we're going to be saved by Jesus, shouldn't we be doing what He told us to do? Absolutely we should. What about John 12:48? This is important. Jesus said the words that He has spoken will judge us in the last day. Now, what words has He told us? Well, we read Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. In times past, God spoke to the fathers and the prophets in various ways, in different manners, and in these last days has spoken to us through His Son. So, in a sense, the whole Bible comes from Jesus. Jesus gave His instructions to the Holy Spirit, who directed the men of God to speak as they were moved by Him, to give us what we need for our salvation. And He gives us everything we need. If there is no pattern that matters, what will we be judged by? Think about that. If there's no pattern, if the Bible is not a pattern, if anything we do is not a pattern, when we stand before God, how would He have the ability to say, you didn't do what I asked you to do? We need a pattern, people. We need a pattern. And God has given us that pattern. We encourage everyone to follow the pattern that God gives us. Not what we decide, not what we feel like. What about 1 Corinthians 1:10? Let there be no divisions among you. What is the formula to keep away from division? Get everybody on the same pattern. You know, if you got a group of people together and says, do your own thing, would there be agreement? Would there be peace among them? Everybody doing their own thing? We see how that works in the world today. We see what pitiful shape this world is in because everybody's doing it their way. They don't care about anybody else's way. They don't care about God's way. They're doing it their way. Like that Frank Sinatra song, I did it my way. And when they stand before God in judgment and say, I did it my way, God's going to tell them, depart from me, hit the highway. Go off into destruction. The admonition that Paul says to speak the same things, to be of the same mind. How can we do that if we don't have a standard to follow? Does that not have to do with the pattern? What about 1 Corinthians 11:1? Imitate me as I also imitate Christ, as Paul wrote. Yes, there's an example we are to follow. Christ does give us a pattern to follow. 1 Timothy 1:16, Jesus was the example of faithfulness for all those who would believe in him. Jesus was faithful to God. He never broke any of God's commandments. He's the ultimate example of faithfulness. And he is the one we are supposed to follow and to imitate. The point is, what God tells us to do, we should be doing it. Now, some people still come up, well, if there is a pattern, where do we find that pattern? I've heard a lot of people say, well, there's no such thing as a pattern. There's a group of people called non-patternists. And they really brag about the fact that they don't follow a pattern. And you can tell by looking at where they worship that they don't follow a pattern. They do whatever they want to do. I mean, that some of you may have heard about the Cowboy Church. In Texas, they have, actually in the whole South, they have a group. And of course, they're an offshoot of the Southern Baptist Convention. But yet, instead of coming together to gather for worship, they meet out at the corral and they ride their horses and rope the calves. And that is their spiritual nourishment that they get. See, without a pattern, anything goes. But Jesus gave us a pattern. God gave us a pattern. We need to follow that pattern. What about 1 Corinthians 4:6? Paul instructs these brethren that what he wrote was so that they would learn not to think or go beyond what is written. God's already spoken. God has already given us the instructions. He doesn't need to tell us anything more. We have it. We can read it. We can study it. And we can abide by it. If we want to go to heaven, if we choose to ignore it, then we're not going to heaven. Just that simple. This passage teaches us there are boundaries. You don't go too far. We know in the world, if you go someplace that says authorized personnel only, that is a boundary. And you decide to go through that, what's going to happen? Well, you can get charged with trespassing. You can get arrested. You can get kicked out of the place. People understand that. If they see a sign that says employees only, and they decide to go through that door and they're not an employee, guess what? They can be asked to leave and get kicked out. People understand those rules. But when it comes to religion, they want to throw all the rules out. 2 John 9 through 11. The one who does not bring the teaching of Christ does not have God. So if they teach anything contrary to what God says, they don't have God. They don't have God in their life. And really, if they're doing what they want to do, they've kind of eliminated the need for God in their own mind. But they will stand before God in judgment. We are assured of that. And as we know, silence is not permission to do what we want. When God has specified and told us what he expects of us, he doesn't have to say, but you can't ride your ponies, or you can't do this or that. Maybe later on we'll discuss a lesson on silence. What about 1 Corinthians 14:33? God is not the author of confusion. Then the question is, why is there so much religious division today? Why do we have thousands of different groups out there all claiming to be followers of Christ? Well, the answer is obvious. Because all those others do not respect the pattern that God gave. That's why there's confusion out there. And people are confused. They're told, they go into one church, they're told one thing. You go to another church, they're told something else, and go to another. I mean, no wonder there's confusion in this world. But if everybody would teach the same thing out of God's word, there wouldn't be any confusion. Is it because he said really doesn't matter? Because of what God said really doesn't matter? Well, that's the attitude people display when they do their own thing. But God, the creator of this world, the creator of humanity, the creator of all, gave it to us. So do we have to ask the question, does it matter if we have a pattern? You better believe it. And these are just a few verses that call for us to understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17, we are to understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to get away with foolishness. Foolishness declares there is no God. And when you basically eliminate his pattern, you're just kind of telling the world there is no God because God doesn't matter anymore. We're to put away that foolishness. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that understanding gives us direction, a pattern, if you will. There are many other examples and patterns could be added to the ones we talked about today. In fact, if you followed the instructions found in the Bible, you would have the perfect pattern to live by. If you followed the Word of God and lived according to that, you would have a perfect pattern to live by. And the result would be perfect. You would have heaven as your goal, as your future home. As we can see, God has given us a pattern, and we need to follow it. And that's what we encourage everyone to do, is to follow this pattern, to follow the pattern that God gives us, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross for our sins, that we need to repent of our sins and put those away and change our life and start living for God, to confess the name of Jesus in order to have Him confess our name before God, and to be baptized for the remission of our sins. And then to live faithful. If there is no pattern, the Bible is not a guide for us to follow. We find that in 2 Timothy 3, where it's all scripture given by inspiration of God. And then 2 Peter 1, 3, everything we need has been granted to us through His divine word. If it's not a pattern, it's just a book of philosophy, and we reject God. So anyone who does not want to be held accountable to God will reject the pattern of God's word. Plain and simple. And then they're going to make charges to justify themselves for it. So consider those thoughts. And hopefully you'll abide by the pattern by following God's will and not your own. So if you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Will you come? Will you?